Welcome to episode 481 of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that's never not always ready to not be ready. In this episode, we talk about Everdell the Complete Collection, Slumberland, and trivia. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So twist your tongues to and fro, because it's time for another episode. Kick off every episode by going around the table, which is where we talk about things that are new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Patrick, why don't you kick us off?
I got a foot, and I'm excited about it. I'm too excited about it. I don't know. I fixated lately on making my office look nice. We can decide if that is some type of like hint about coming out of depression or something later. But whatever it means, I've started decorating and like putting things on walls. And this is stuff that like has been not on walls for a very long time. And so as part of that, I don't know, I just decided I want a neon sign. I decided like I can be cool like all your other people that you like. And so I got one. So Jetpacks and Roller Skates, he did an amazing logo for Squatchin, which was my agency that I foolishly started the month before COVID. And so the agency is garbage, but the logo is beautiful. So I am doing the Squatchin logo. I'm super pumped to have it. And it'll be occupying this little bit of free space right here behind my wall. That's all. I'm super pumped about that. Also, did either of y'all check out the leaked Loki season 2 trailer?
No.
Oh, that's the other thing that's got me very excited this week.
Yeah.
There are people that have leaked versions on YouTube. You can find them. The quality's horrible. I mean, the quality looks like I think someone still had their Google Glass from a decade ago, and they just wore that and filmed it that way because it looks terrible. But you can check out the Loki 2 trailer, and I would love to tell you my thoughts on it, but I'm genuinely the least qualified person in this whole show, chat, everything to give my thoughts.
Absolutely.
So I just want to say it excited me. Go look up the Loki 2 trailer. Inevitably, it'll get taken offline. But another one pops up. It's a Hydra situation. So make sure you you give that a watch. Outside of that, I don't know. I don't have updates for all of y'all. I'm in this situation where I'm finishing up this bucket of freelance work. And I'm like finally saying no to any more. I've made that decision. No more freelance work. No side jobs. I don't care about that. I want to have like a boring, planned out, easy life.
Do we get to hang out again? Is that what that means?
So, like, I can hang out with people.
While you're still working two jobs.
Right. And so that said, in order to get there, I do have to finish all the things I committed to. So I'm in the process of finishing all the things I committed to. But, like, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, I'll be done. I'll be a new man. I'll just be like, let me tell you real quick how boring I'm trying to be. I watched the President's Cup this week on Sunday. I watched golf.
I don't even know what that is.
I watched golf for several hours and it was amazing.
It was
so chill.
Your level of interest in golf.
No, I don't know how to golf.
Your level of interest in golf is so low that you call it golf.
I don't know any of the rules.
Were you like literally trying to find the most boring thing you could think of to do?
I said, what would a boring person do? I want to do that thing. And golf was on. And so I just watched it and it was very relaxing. It was just very. Like,
I really enjoy watching golf. It's pretty nice.
I don't. I think it is one of the most boring things on earth.
Well, that's what's going on. I will tell you.
And
more
I have family that golfs. Like I.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe give it a try sometime or don't. That's fine. I will say I do have thoughts about the whole idea of side jobs and hustle and all that kind of stuff, and I'm slowly putting them together. And then we'll have a very, very fun video about it. But that day is not today. So just know I'm trying to be a boring person. And I'm trying to be a person that hangs stuff up on my walls. And so far, I'm checking stuff off my list. Lauren, what's going on with you this week?
I didn't have like too crazy of a week. As you guys can see, I'm back at home now. Dodged the hurricane. Literally, they had to like move what runway my plane was taking off from because of the storms starting. So Good luck if you are in Florida. It seems like it's going to be a little tough for the coast. But hopefully everything will be okay. Maybe it'll even veer off. Who knows? So, yeah. Very nice to be home, though, I have to say. It's been a minute. I've been hanging out with my cat and catching up on stuff. Right now, there's just, like, so much TV on that is excellent that, like, just that, like, all my favorite shows are on basically right now. We have, like, House of the Dragon. We have Rings of Power, She-Hulk. And then this week, we added Great British Bake Off and Andor, which I've been really excited for. And I thought these first three episodes definitely lived up to the expectations that I had in my head and maybe even surpassed them a little bit because I was maybe not feeling as confident just from like chatter I heard. But no, it is really, really good. Have you guys watched the first episodes?
Yeah, I watched the first episode. I rewatched Rogue One yesterday and then watched episode one of Andor.
Nice. I don't know how you were able to like stop yourself from watching the rest because I was like, I gotta see what happens.
Because I hated it.
I thought the okay.
Well, I'm just kidding. I actually didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
We're about to talk about something you did this week that I don't think you liked, and I'm excited for that. But I'm glad it wasn't also Andor.
I just had to move on and do other things. That's the only reason I stopped.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think those first three episodes like kind of come to a like the peak of excitement at the end of that third episode. That was like my. I thought was especially good episode. So excited to see where the show goes from here. There's a lot of stuff that they've shown in the trailers that were not at all in these episodes, like no Mon Mothma, no, you know, like we haven't even touched that stuff yet. So I'm definitely very excited to see like more of this show. I might be just because there's so much other stuff going on that I'm not thinking about it as much and like haven't rewatched it or like even had a chance to like listen to podcasts about it. Like I really enjoyed it, but there's just so much on right now that it's just getting hard to keep up. But really strong start, I think, for sure. I love our new little droid buddy, B3 Emo. He's too cute. So such an adorable little grandpa. So excited to see just more fun Star Wars stuff. It's a great start. So then other than that, I've just got a couple things to mention. We've been talking about this for a long time, but I got my copy of Oz in from Andrew
Kolb. Are we in it?
Oh, you know what? I forgot to look, so I'll look when
that's
I'm not
all
talking.
I want to know. So that's all I want to know is if we're in the back of the book.
Well, I'm so like nervous to look in it so I don't like spoil myself that I've
I did just a quick
it's in the very back, I think.
This.
It's in the very
back. I'll look when I'm not talking because I just got this in as well, so I just haven't had much time with it. But it's such a pretty book. Like I love the like green foil on the front. It was like sitting on my table and I'm like, gosh, that book's just gorgeous. So congratulations, Andrew. The book turned out amazing and I'm just super excited to keep playing.
Yes, thank
you. Need to go back to our other campaign, even though we're doing really exciting things in Neverland too. And then one last shout out for a trailer that came out this week, which was the trailer for Midnight Club, which is the continuation of the Mike Flanagan universe on Netflix. So the Haunting of Bly Manor, Hill House, and Midnight Mass. The Midnight Club is the next one that's coming out. I don't know what to tell you other than just go watch the trailer, kind of like Patrick was saying with Loki. Like, it looks very exciting. It looks fun, like something in some kind of like hospital with some teens. Looks like a good scary time. Like it looks really scary. So I'm so excited because like all three of those shows were excellent. So just keep going, Mike.
He definitely tapered off for me on the last showing.
Loved Midnight Mass.
I know you
I've
did.
I've watched that one the most. Yeah.
I think if it wasn't supposed to be somehow connected to that universe, I would maybe feel slightly differently about it. But we don't have to rehash all of my feelings. I hope this is a better showing than that. Because the first two were incredible. So I hope this next one feels more in line
with
this.
This one, again, looks different. Like, it looks like a haunted building of some kind, but a little more modern than any of the other two. And then, like, nothing that necessarily connects, like, obviously, in the trailer with Midnight Mass. But, like, I don't really know how connected they need to be, nor do I care if they are, honestly. Like, they can be or not. Like, I'm still going to watch.
But I like the idea of a haunted space better than I like just, like, a demon or a vampire. Like, I just, for whatever reason, I think that that excites me more. So,
yeah. Well, it definitely looks pretty haunted. So yeah, check out the trailer for Midnight Club when you get a chance. And I'm sure we'll be talking about the show once it comes out. I forgot to look up when it comes out. I'm sure it's in October. So pretty soon. That'll be it for me for this week. Andrew, what have you been up to?
All right, I've got so much I'm going to have to consolidate. I'm just going to pick a couple of highlights. Two things that I want to talk about. One is I am heading to Florida on Thursday early morning.
I hope you make it.
So that's the current plan. We're heading to Disney. That's still in the cards for us. So we'll see what happens. And then
you bought a cute like Mickey themed poncho or anything? Umbrellas?
No, I'm a Floridian, so I'll just get wet. That's fine. I'm fine.
All right.
And then I also went to the 13th floor this weekend. And the 13th floor is a professional like spook house, like a haunted house that you traverse through. And I just want to say it was absolutely just so much fun. It was creepy. If you saw my stories on Instagram, you saw a couple of the creeps who were there. The makeup was done so incredibly well. The sets were just amazing. And afterwards, the people that I went with, I was saying, oh, I was just pointing out like all these sets and stuff. And there's like, they said, I wasn't looking at the sets. I wasn't looking at their makeup. I was just trying to get through it. And I'm like, oh, I took everything in. It was like, I wanted to experience the whole thing.
What did
it
you
was,
learn? What would you take from that whatever, that experience, and apply to like your own Halloween decorations or costume?
If I was going to do it, I would go all out. Like if I'm going to do it, I need it to look like you're really in like a laboratory or really in an insane asylum or really like it has to feel real. And they did a really good job of doing that. We've been in escape rooms before that just aren't furnished well enough for it to be believable. Yeah. And for the ones that are the best escape room experiences, and I would say haunted houses too, they have to not feel like you're just walking through, you know, a faux wall maze, but that you're actually maneuvering through a building that would exist without you being there, right? Like you don't want it to feel like it's seasonal. It's yeah. a permanent thing. And so this place actually is annual. They only do seasonal events, but the sets and things stay up all year long, which is I think why they're able to make it so good. So anyway, 13th floor, it's a national company, so you can find 13th floor entertainment haunted houses all over the country. Just look it up, look up 13thfloorentertainment.com or something like that, and you can find one maybe in a city near you. But this one's right in downtown San Antonio. It's super fun. Patrick said he's going to go with me next weekend, so I'm excited about that. We're gonna stream it live on Twitch.
Yes, I will stream myself while doing it.
Is it a haunted house escape room or just a haunted house?
It's just a haunted house.
Okay.
It's supposed to be like one of the best in the country, though, right?
I don't know about that.
I'm terrified to do that stuff.
I don't know.
What's it called? 13th floor?
13th floor, San Antonio. I don't know that they claim that. It's definitely the best in San Antonio. Like, I know that there are some other ones that people put on, but this
USA
one is,
Today top 5 most terrifying haunted houses in the USA.
There you go. Holy cow, that's good to know.
Nice.
It was really well done, and so I got this shirt.
They do have escape rooms there.
They do have some, but they don't run them at the same time, I believe. I'm going to show you guys who are watching this on the stream. I'm going to show you this shirt because I love this shirt. It is
awesome.
It's Dracula's Spook House, and it has this like it looks kind of Scooby-Doo-esque. It's purple and yellow and orange on a black shirt with green, and the illustration of Dracula is super fun.
I think the colors are awesome too, because they're like feel Halloween-y, but there's not a lot of orange and stuff, so good job on all that.
I know
as well.
it's not cheesy Halloween, it's like fun and quirky Halloween.
Yeah.
And then finally, I did watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it was fine. I think the best way for me to describe it is, and I know no one's going to agree with me, so like it's fine. Like no one needs to try to talk me into liking
it. I'm not even going to say anything, because like I knew you, like by the time that you saw it, you were so against it, I knew you wouldn't like it.
Nope, that's not true. That's not true. I went into it with an open mind. Otherwise, I wouldn't have watched it. If I was convinced I wasn't going to like it, I wouldn't have watched it, because I don't have enough time to waste. So I watched it with an open mind. It was fine, but what it is in my mind It is a it's an indulgence in artistic expression, and that's fine. It just the expression, the way that they expressed art in that way, wasn't necessarily my cup of tea. It didn't move me. I thought there were visually some really cool things, and it was fun in some areas, but I felt like it was like 30 to 40% too long. I was clock watching the whole time. And so anyway, it was fine, visually cool, but just wasn't for me. So I've now officially seen it, and I did not hate it. It just wasn't my favorite. I won't watch it again.
I do want to, so I saved my feedback on it until you could see it, because I was waiting until all three of us had seen, so we'd have a conversation. So I do want to I want to insert like two sentences about it, and then I'll walk away from it. One of my favorite movie endings of all time, genuinely of all time, is the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, or whatever. It might not be R. Ford. It might just be Robert Ford. It's a fairly like slow burn. And it's very like beautiful. They do some very, very interesting like cinematography stuff with like the, I only know them as like Lin's Baby style shots. But anyway, it's a very, very, very cool film to watch. But there are long stretches of it that I wouldn't necessarily say are exciting. They're beautiful, but they're not really exciting. But something about sitting through all of that buildup makes the ending just amazing to me. It's something about experiencing what comes before it that allows the ending to have this like absolute crescendo that it does. And I don't think the ending would be as good without obviously all of the film that leads up to it. And so you need that slow part, or you need that very long, drawn out, beautiful part in order to create this like very big action. And I almost like, so with Everything Everywhere All at Once, I don't know that like, for instance, the first act, I necessarily feel like I need to see the first act again, because the first act is really just explaining the mechanisms that are within the film, right? So I don't know that.
But there's so many fun like Easter eggs and stuff in the background that connect to things later that like are really cool.
Sure, sure, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, like outside some of the like really exciting martial arts stuff that was happening, which I think was amazing, and I was not anticipating that. I can understand like not wanting to sit through like the first act on a rewatch or something like that. But man, something about all of it together, just the collective going through the film, even though like it could feel boring in the moment, it just made like the payoff of the film so emotional for me. And there's no way it would have been just as emotional without seeing everything else. So I don't know, something about it. Like even in the moment watching the film, I wasn't even convinced I was enjoying it while I was watching it. Like there were parts that were awesome. Again, like the martial arts parts and things like that were exciting. But I wasn't convinced I was necessarily loving the film until that, again, crescendo happens. And I guess they hit all the right beats, because I freaking like cried during that. And on a rewatch, I cried during that. So it got me. But I did have a similar like, I don't think I'm feeling this as much as everybody else while I was watching it the first time. So
I made it
but
all the way
think
through.
Like you have to
that
see
way.
The sum of its parts. Like you have to see the ending to like understand all of it. And it pays off so much to rewatch that movie because of all the circular nature of the story, sort of like.
I agree. I did really, really like the film.
Patrick immediately
saying, like,
told me to come over and watch it with him, and I said no, I won't be watching it.
That's a misunderstanding. Okay,
yeah.
In fact,
I witnessed this text chain, and I agree with Patrick's on this right now. Here
we I don't
go.
Care. I don't care who agrees with who. It doesn't matter who
goes.
Agrees with who.
He you're acting like he's crazy, and
everything,
it was
everywhere.
And
he is crazy.
Everything, everywhere, all at once. Saw it. That's what he said.
Saw it.
Nobody sent any words in response to that. Okay. Yeah. No words. And then he went, nah.
Like,
so I said,
like, I don't get
so I
this.
Said,
just
I don't
nah.
understand. He said, nah, again. And then I said, so you didn't? And I was saying, so, because you had said, saw it. So
saw
the
it.
Thing I said was, so you didn't? And you went, I did not. So then I thought you just lied about seeing the film. So I said, okay, come over and watch it. Okay. And then you went, nah, I didn't hate it. And no. I wasn't inviting you to rewatch it. I was inviting you to watch it for the first time.
Okay, I see. I see what mm-hmm. happened there. But I did say that I saw it, and then I was giving my review, which was nah. That was my review.
And I get that now, and that's fine. I actually Mm-hmm. You liking it or not liking it, that's fine. I don't need to convince you to one way or the other. But I really thought you were just saying you saw it and then just being like, I'm just kidding, I didn't see it. I thought like that was the bit.
I was going to say, why would I do that? But I do stuff like that. So like, I get why there was confusion in that explanation, for sure. Anyway, I don't think people who loved it are crazy. There are some movies that people love that I think you loving that movie makes you be very different from me. Right?
The call one.
Yes. Sorry to bother you.
Sorry to bother you.
If you like Sorry to Bother You, then I think I do think there is a flaw. I think there's a flaw in your taste if you like that movie. This movie, no, I get it. Like, I get how people can really like it. Like I said, it was an overindulgent artistic expression. And for me, it just didn't take me where it took you guys. Visually, it was nice, but for me, the story was just okay. So anyway, moving past all of that stuff, we are going to head out of our around the table and head into our master categories. Every week, we talk about the dice we roll the week before. Those dice give us our categories. We pick our topics based on those categories. This week, I'm going to kick things off because I've got a mound of things to my left that I just need to share with you guys. So I got art. And this week, I don't think I could ask for a better thing to come in because I'm actually going to talk about art in two different ways. So art two ways today. Okay. I'm going to first show you this. This is where I'm going to start things off. You guys remember this game. I've talked to you about Everdell. Right, I've talked to you about how beautiful the art is, the illustrations, and how it's designed, like the game design and the mechanics. I've talked about all that stuff, so I don't need to talk about Everdell as a game again. All right, Patrick, you and I have played this a few times. Lauren, have you played this?
I've never played it. I remember you talking about it.
I think you would love this game. First of all,
it looks awesome.
Stylistically, it's like right in your wheelhouse.
I beat you at that game.
Yes, you did. I don't think I've ever actually.
Beat me. I'm like, man.
I don't think I've ever beat you. I think you've beat me both times we played it. So I ordered something a while back, and I talked about it on the podcast briefly, and I said I would talk about it more when it came in. And today, I got home, and I had a package waiting for me on the door.
You're welcome.
At the door, and here is the box that it came in. This is the shipping box that it came in. This is the shipping box. This is the Everdell The Complete Collection. And if you look, it's got these stained glass windows illustrated. All of them are different on the entire, every panel of the box. Every side of the box has something printed on it, including these like these windows, these stained glass windows with characters designed on it. So this is the box. I'm like, whoa, that is a big box. Okay, well, that's fine. A big box, a box inside of this box has to be bigger than the box that's inside of it by nature, right? So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe the game is, you know, 2/3 the size of this box. Did you hear that thud? That's empty nice. Box hitting the ground. Here's what was in it, and you're just going to have to bear with me for a second.
All right. Andrew's bending over. He is now upright.
He's holding up a big green box. It says Everdell.
Yellowish, brownish, tans. I can't.
It did look this, more green when he first pulled it up. Yeah.
This is Everdell.
This box is literally both is like as big as Andrew's entire head and then half of his torso.
Yeah. Notice I'm holding it in line with my head so that you see there's no perspective issue happening here. This is how big this box is. This box is over 2 feet tall and over a foot in like just a little over a foot and a half wide, I think, and it weighs 20 pounds. This game weighs 20 pounds, and as you'll see, the box design has not only spot UV, but it also has foil. I don't know if you can see the foil. There you go.
Shipping this must cost so much.
Yeah, I think shipping was like $60, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because it weighs 20 pounds. Like, yeah. And it's
here's the back of it. So first and foremost, I just wanted to talk about the art of box design. This box design is absolutely beautiful. It is phenomenal and packaged, how they packaged it. It was something to behold when I opened it. Now, the other half of this is going to be... this is heavy. is going to be...
Are you fully out of breath right now?
A workout.
I'm actually smashing my fingers right now in an effort to not be carrying it all the weight.
Don't hurt yourself. You can set it down.
The other half of this thing is going to be organization design. And I have not opened this yet. I started to, and Becca said, wait, do it on the show, because I guess I was being very expressive because I was very impressed. Because look at how just even the design, they show you how the box is laid out inside. Mm-hmm. Can you just imagine how excited I am right now, Patrick, about this?
About the organization for it?
Yes, yeah. The organization. So I'm going to spend the next 4 minutes or so opening this box and just showing you what's inside of it, because I think, like, I was getting emails from Kickstarter all along the way, where they were, you know, showing us the different stages in the process, and they have put a lot of care, attention, and detail into organizing this box in a really, really efficient and effective way.
You do two things. One, is the inside of that box actually like have texture on it or like color on it?
Yeah.
Or is it? Okay.
It's fully wrapped. Nice. The whole box is fully wrapped.
So that's a step you didn't have to take. Number two, could you possibly pan your camera down more like crotch eyeline so we could see this? There we go.
Yeah.
I like how you said crotch eyeline instead of table.
Well, we know what's under there.
All crotches. So, It comes with an explanation of where everything lives. This is the complete collection, which means it has every single expansion that they created for it. But it's all packaged in one box. If you were buying them as you went along, I think it ends up being like 8 boxes of different games. This is a full and complete version. Wow. On top of that, by getting this version, you get a wooden tree. The tree that you assemble is made of wood. It's not cardboard anymore.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Cool.
So that's what's on top. And then
that's so Lauren, you'll see this, but that's kind of the centerpiece for this game. It's like a big
tree. I remember Andrew telling us about it before, and he like had that, I think, set up for us. So I do, and that's like how you like climb the tree, or I can't, like, I remember you put
you
it on
You pull
levels
things off of the tree.
Tree,
yeah, based on where you're at in the game, yeah. And then there's obviously all of the punch out tokens and goodies that come along with that, which I can do that later. Inside of here, you've got Game Trays, I believe, did all of the boxes for them. So everyone has like a vacuum press design in it, and it's this hard plastic that is all like designed to stack perfectly. Oh my word, that's incredible. All right, so then,
is there anything in that box that you just were holding?
No, all but his punch outs will probably go in there.
Oh. Yes.
There's lots of pieces that have to be first created, and then they will go in there. Here is the tree. Oh my word, that's mm-hmm. awesome. That's so here's cool. the tree. And then below the tree.
Get it out.
Below the tree are all the critters inside of this box, and it's locked in. Oh, so this is two layers. That's cool. So the tree lives in a separate layer, but the layer snaps on top of the other box.
Oh, that's nice.
Let's see if I can do this without
Game
Tray
stuff is
over.
So nice, by the way.
It really
and
is.
And I don't even think it's that expensive, but it adds so much to like the final product.
So here's the wooden tree. It's all a screen-printed wooden tree. And then these are all of the meeples.
Wow.
With all the different critters and creatures. Look at that.
So many.
So many because of all the expansions.
That's super cool, though.
So,
and I love how they,
they're
all in their own little pockets and mm-hmm. everything. Like, it's so cool.
If you're not seeing this, which you should, by the way, twitch.tv/MoveOnePodcast every Monday, 7 p.m. Central. So there's a plastic tray that has all the meeples in it, all the different critters and characters. However, instead of it just being individual square cubbies that they fit in, every single cubby has like wavy, winding edges and lines. It's just little bitty design touches like that that aren't necessary. I'm sure they add cost, but it just makes it just adds to the overall feel of, I mean, literally top to bottom. I mean, even the inside of the box lid, which would normally just be white, has textured color applied to it. It's crazy.
Look at the rule book. The complete rule book. It's gilded. It's got like gold metallic gilding on it, and it's a nice green. This looks like something that would come straight from Lord of the Rings. I mean, if I've seen, if I had seen Lord of the Rings.
Haven't, but if you had, it looks like it.
And then look at this. Here's the coins and all of the different like resources are all in here, which are like resin. Nice. There's actual like pearlescent things. All the wood is actual wood. The stones are actual stone, and the berries, I don't know if you remember, but the berries are like a squishy rubber. They feel like actual berries. And then there's real coins in here.
I don't know what it's called when you like different textures, but I do, and those berries are one of my favorite textures.
These, I believe...
There's probably a word for it.
Yeah. Textronic. You're very textronic.
I don't think that's the
word.
I
like it.
Well, it's a word that I just made up. And I think it, based on my definition, you are that. So... let's see if I can get this out. Maybe I'm not supposed to take this out.
By the way, we're only on minute 3 of our 4-minute breakdown right now.
And then this is the box with all of the cards. So all of the cards go in here.
That's 17 of the 22 pounds.
Yes, exactly.
What was the heaviest layer so far?
Far that was the heaviest layer.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is the heaviest layer. These are all of the other expansion pieces that make up the board and such.
What is that? So that dark red or dark brown, what material is that?
It's a velvet. It's a crushed red velvet bag.
Oh, there's a bag in there. Okay. So we're still seeing it through like plastic covers. So we don't.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was like hard.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that better? Yeah. Now I can see. Yes, yes.
There's more things to be popped out in there. And then here's.
So what are the bags for? Each one of those is an expansion?
Yeah, each one of these represents a different expansion. So here's more of the... These are more of the board pieces right here. Oh my gosh, that's so pretty. So that stays in there. Okay, so these are more of the board pieces.
Yeah, holy cow.
Anyway, that's... And then that empties the box. But holy cow, there's so much stuff.
Yeah.
I got
your money's worth for sure.
I don't want to spend
maybe not
time.
How much did you pay for that?
$723.
You did not get your money's worth. No,
I can't remember, but it was not cheap. I do want to say it was probably, I think the base game that I showed you at the beginning of this was like 70 or 80. So all of that, I believe I paid like just shy of 200, or maybe it was just over 200. So not the most expensive.
Very worth it.
Yeah, not the most expensive board game we've ever purchased, because I think Scythe was more than that.
I mean, don't do it for every game, right? But if there's a game, because there are games that we've encountered that you just feel like you can't get enough of, and when you find that game, put the money into it. Like Scythe was one of those games where we bought all new tokens, all metal, all wood, like bought new like holders and dividers or whatever. So, yeah, if you find a game, there's typically around games like that, there's really cool communities that make all of this stuff to support it. Now, in the case of Everdale, they did it all for you, and they did a great job.
Yeah. They did a phenomenal job. So, man, they understand there is for sure an art to packing this stuff, right? And there's a lot of intentionality and artistry into designing packaging in such a way that is thoughtful, efficient and effective, and that alone shows me that if they've put enough care and attention into that, the game itself has worked. They've worked through the mechanics. They've play tested it enough to understand that it's balanced, like all these things. And then we know that Everdell, well, I don't know if you know, but Everdell has won Game of the Year a couple of years ago. So it is a tried and tested game. And so this just really enhances the full gameplay for me, and hopefully resonates with the people who listen to this show and watch this show, because there's so much artistry in packaging the game and going beyond the actual play that you can actually, you know, really appreciate. So that is my category. Lauren, why don't you go?
Right on. So last week I got Future Film. So I'm going to be talking about a movie called Slumberland that is coming out on Netflix November 18th. And this is one of those things where I've just like, Netflix, what is wrong with your advertising algorithm or whatever, because I don't know how I didn't hear about this sooner, because I have like a collection of books of the Little Nemo and Slumberland stuff. Like, I have a whole bunch of this stuff. I'm super interested in it. This is very much up my alley. So like, why I only just found out about it now is baffling. And like, randomly an Instagram ad came up for this and I was like, is this what I think it is? So there's a Netflix is basically doing a remake, or I don't even know if I want to call it a remake, because it definitely seems to be taking a lot of liberties with the idea, but they're going to do their version of like Little Nemo in Slumberland. So there has been a cartoon of this. It's been like, originally it was published as like cartoons, and I have this giant book.
Can I ask you a clarifying question before we dive too deep? Is this the same Little Nemo from Dream Master? The Capcom Dream Master, where Little Nemo goes on this on his bed into a journey into Slumberland?
Yes, yes, that is actually the same thing. It's from these comic books that are like literally from like 1905, but they were like published in newspapers, so they're like these big, huge comics.
That's insane. This was from 1990, the video game that I used to play on the NES. I remember this game. It was one of the very first video games I ever played.
Oh, yeah. So I haven't played that game, but there was a movie, like a cartoon movie that they made in 1992. I looked this up earlier today. It was actually a Disney film, which I'm very surprised to like learn, because it's pretty dark and weird for like the cartoons that like we think of in that time for Disney. But it's one of those movies that like, I love this movie. I would like rent it over and over. I actually have a copy now, but it's like from a garage sale. So it doesn't even have like the cover on it anymore. It's just a VHS tape. But the story in the comics in the book is about, the comics and the movie is the story about this little boy named Nemo that kind of explores the land of Slumberland. Like, the main kind of motif that I think is most familiar is the, like, him dreaming of like the bed with the super long legs, like walking through the city. Mm-hmm. That's in like every version. And they do have something that, seems to be paying homage to that in the trailer as well. But there's quite a lot of differences between this classic version and the new version. And I don't really have a problem with them updating the idea. It's kind of like Alice in Wonderland, where it's like you can kind of take this basic idea and kind of, just run with it, basically. Like, the world is a cool idea, the subjects. And like, some of this is super outdated. Like, there's definitely some like not very accepted representations of ethnicities and stuff in the way that they draw these comics, but they are 100 years old. So like, it was just very different time back then. So I don't think this story is like, it's like weird to update it now. So the movie version that Netflix is doing has a girl who's named Nima, really creative on the name change there, which I'm wondering if that means that like Nemo is around somewhere, or if this is like replacing him completely, but she's going to explore Slumberland now. There's like a character in the other versions whose name is Flip. He's kind of like a little troublemaker. He's like kind of you don't know right away if he's like your friend or not, or if he's trying to trick you or Nemo and like how this is going to work, but he's mostly good, you know? And so he's being played by Jason Momoa as like a big giant funky satyr type guy. Like, he has big horns and like he's changing his outfits magically, which like really seems to like capture the spirit of this character Flip, but not at all look like he does in the comics or anything like that. I think it kind of seems like a fun, again, like they're not really doing more than just taking the idea of this story and then running with it with their own version. But I think there's lots of things that, if you know the comics or the movie, that like in the trailer, like I said, they have the walking bed post thing. The title treatment takes artwork directly from the comic books. There's like a moon and star things you can see. And that's literally artwork straight from the comic books, as far as I'm aware. And honestly, like, I'm pretty excited. I don't know if this will be good or bad. Like, the trailer looks fun, but like, it's clearly aimed at kids, like, you know, which like isn't always like as satisfying for me anymore or whatever. But like, I'm genuinely curious to check it out because I love this property. And so like, and this treatment, this just looks so different than what I, you know, like what I would have maybe done. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it, you know. And I definitely recommend checking out the original animated film, because it's a really fun movie. You can watch it on Amazon for free. So if you want to check it out, that's like, it's a quick, easy movie. It's really fun. I remember it being like kind of scary when I was a little, like very young, but it's like Never Ending Story scary, where it's like weird and creepy, but like everything turns out just fine, so it's okay.
I remember the game being you had to go and find different animals and you had to feed them candy and you had to find keys to get into these different places. And yeah, certainly the moon and the stars were a big piece of it, but it was not an easy video game to beat, if I remember correctly. And I remember the music. Yeah. The music was so entrancing.
A lot of those NES games are so hard. Like, yeah. I remember playing those, like, Disney NES games, and, like, the music got stuck in my head, and I could only get to, like, the same point in every single one, like, you know, like, a certain level.
You could
like
ride
for the Aladdin one. It was the, like, magic carpet ride. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you're trying to escape the Cave of Wonders. That is the worst level of all time.
Trying to defeat Scar in The Lion King on...
I never even got that far.
It was... a nightmare. I posted a link to this into our chat channel, Lauren, so that you can see what the original game was like. But
yeah, it's cool.
This looks very different from that, but I've never seen a comic book or the movie. So I thought this was a standalone game, and I honestly haven't thought about it in literally three decades. I haven't thought about it since
Now
I
want to try and find the game.
6 years
that's like
old.
The only iteration I didn't know.
So
you mentioned the annoyance of not finding out about this until it feels like it's coming out soon. I don't know how this changes across divisions, but this was one thing. If you remember the several of the people that got cut in animation at Netflix, this is one thing that they complained about, was that Netflix would only allot them something like 4 weeks of advertising. So
they're so bad.
And they would complain about the fact that they would put all this effort into the project they were working on, and then there would only be 4 to 6 weeks of actually Netflix even talking about it, and they felt like it was underselling their project, and that's one of the things that was negatively impacting them. So the fact that this comes out in 6 weeks and you just heard about it, that's unfortunately, it seems to be
even
that's the way that
this
Netflix
is something
actually
I've had, like,
does
an
business.
Interested in yeah. for years and years. So it's like, come on.
Like, there's obviously going to be exceptions, like some of the huge, the big favorites. But for new properties they're working on, the 4 to 6 week timeline, I think, is just their working timeline. So
That's interesting.
I think it definitely hurts them a lot because there's so many things that, like, just go get buried in Netflix because, like, unless it's suggested to me, I don't see it. And
I would think
and then
that-
they, like, I don't feel like its suggestions are always, like, it misses things that I'm looking for sometimes.
Yeah. I would
Hulu's
think that
much worse, though, I have to
say. With Jason Momoa would warrant at least 3 months of advertising.
Like, well, easily. Netflix is seemingly not the company they were. It used to seem like they were impervious to bad decisions. Like, they were always one step ahead of everybody. And they are no longer that anymore. I think that it's incredible. That's probably the longest running subscription I have. It's probably tied between that and Spotify. But I'll probably be killing it in the very
guns
near
and
future.
Ammo, guns and ammo.
I do get my monthly NRA magazine.
Yeah, but that just comes with your dues. That's not part of a subscription service.
Right. Once you get 200 magazines, you get the quilt, and that's what I'm working. That's what.
And
I'm
when you mean magazines, you mean like gun magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So
mags,
22 yeah. mags, and you get the quilt. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Netflix, frustrating decision after frustrating decision. But 6 weeks. I don't think missed anything.
Yeah, it's just an interesting one because I'm like, this is super in my bucket, Netflix. So what's going on? But I am excited to check it out. Like I said, it could be very bad, but it looks like fun, and like at least they're trying something that looks different and all that. So like I will be checking it out for sure.
Awesome. Okay, well, for Patrick's category, he's got trivia. And if you've been listening for the last couple months, you know that means that this is going to be the end of the road for you if you're listening to the show. The only way to get in on these trivia categories is to be with us live on Twitch. So go to twitch.tv/mof1podcast. Next time, we're doing trivia. And the only way to know we're doing trivia is to listen every week to know what our categories are. So I don't know. I guess just keep listening and start watching. But for now, we're going to end it for you guys. We need to roll our dice so that everyone knows what we're talking about next week before we move into the absolute fun of trivia. I can't stress enough how much fun this is. I'll go ahead and roll since I'm already ready to go. I rolled a 3 and a 3.
TV for Andrew.
Okay.
And I rolled a 16 and a 2.
Is books your favorite?
Present books. Thank you.
All righty. And I got a two. Oh, no, I also got three. Sorry, that, Andrew.
That's a roll.
Wait. I super wanted TV. That's fine.
I can switch again. Mine instead and
nope.
do.
Nope. These
two,
are the
three.
Rules. These are the rules. Nine.
A nine is going to be toys. And I got a 17. So, podcast YouTube.
Okay, that's going to be it for this episode. You can find show notes and links over at mofone.network. Where on top of the show notes and links, you can find a whole smorgasbord of episodes in our, what do we call that? Archive.
Podcast.
Internet. you can find it all there. You can, again, like we said, twitch.tv/mofonepodcast. Follow the show on there and subscribe on there. It doesn't cost you anything if you already are a Prime subscriber. Just give us your Prime subscription every month. That's super easy for you, and that's super helpful for us. Write us a rating, like, subscribe, follow, share, all of those things. It's like, come on. Wait, no one needs to learn how to do this. We all know how to do this now. The reality is it is super helpful. That's why people ask for it all the time. It doesn't have to cost you anything. It can just take a little bit of your time, and it helps us out so much. If you write us a review, we will read it on air. No questions asked. We might ask, how do you pronounce this name? But other than that, we will read it however you ask us to do it. What else? Am I missing anything? Oh, this weekend, we start our Disney Drawtober. If you missed this Ooh. Weekend, we rolled out what the calendar is. This year's theme is heroes and villains, which I'm super excited for. And the calendar is out there. Just hit up at Disney Drawtober on Instagram, and you can join along with us starting this Saturday, October the 1st. Okay. Is there anything else? Am I missing? Are we good?
Bits and Boards. Oh, yeah. Next Thursday, Bits and Boards with D&D DM Will. He's going to be talking to another board game creator. It's super good conversations. Here's the thing. This is not like a where did you come from and how do you play your game? This is a how do you get packaging for a game? How much does it cost? What company do you use? Yeah, it's like that
style of
conversation.
They dive into logistics, and yeah, it's good. The conversation goes a little bit past the surface. But you can find us individually. I'm at Andrew Sale with threes instead of E's.
I'm at Not Cool Co. everywhere.
And I'm at Bigfoot.
For now, we're going to get out of this episode. I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace out.
Adios.
Bye.